We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ MV.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
You had to pause that for a second?
I had to remember what day it was.
Goodness gracious.
It's been a time this weekend.
Is it a time?
Yeah, man. It's been a long weekend.
Everything's
been a blur, but let's talk about important things like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys being 4-1. All right? Anybody want to start there? Yeah, you want to start there, right?
We can. My Giants are 4-1, too.
Giants are 4-1.
Yes, they are.
Listen, NFC East, if you old enough to remember, if you were born in the 1900s, like your Uncle Charlotte, okay, then you remember when the NFC East was the division in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking that way right now.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about the football scores and the games over the weekend. What you guys do this weekend? What you do, Yeezy?
I was in Vegas for Stocks and Stilettos. It's a conference for financial literacy for women. It was amazing. There were angel investors there, real estate investors, business owners. You learn how to invest in the stock market, how to trade stocks also. So it was really great.
All right. Now, Charlamagne, you had your Mental Wealth Expo over the weekend.
Well, yeah, you know, well, actually, my weekend started in L.A., man. Salute to the Living Legends Foundation. Drop on the clues bonds for the Living Legends Foundation. They honored me on Friday night. Friday night, I was in L.A. I got honored with the Jerry C. Bolding Radio Executive Award.
Okay, you know, drop a bond for Charlamagne
for
that.
Yeah, man, that was their 30th anniversary of that gala.
Congrats.
So, you know, like, I got honored. Birdman and Slim got honored. Mm-hmm. Tuma Bass got honored.
Tuma, what up?
some other people, so that was fun. So I flew right back for the Mental Wealth Expo on Saturday, which was absolutely positively incredible, man. Like, you know, gratitude is always my attitude, but it was very overwhelming, you know, to just see all of those people come out for a day of mental health education and healing. Because today is actually World Mental Health Day. Today,
okay.
October the 10th. But, you know, we did the event weekend on October the 8th, man. So I just hope that we got a lot of people started on their
journey.
Healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, it's a great event. Second annual. Can't wait to do it again next year.
You drop a bomb for Charlamagne. Had a couple people that went there. Said they had an amazing time.
Man,
they
it was something
laughed.
Special, man.
They said they cried.
It was something
they
special.
They prayed.
I mean, and I told everybody to get there early. We started at 11 a.m. First panel was 11:10 on the dot. First panel was Pastor Torre Roberts and Sarah Jakes Roberts. So we started off incredible and ended it incredible with Wallo and Shaka Sankor talking about the impact of, you know, the prison system on people's mental health. So it was amazing. Because, you know, every time we do those events, man, there's always brothers that come there that have been incarcerated for a long, long period of time. Like, there was a brother that was there this Saturday who'd just been home 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
He did 32 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, yeah, man. Thank you for everybody that showed up and attended. Salute to Dr. Alfie Breland Noble, who'll be joining us at some time this morning. So just thank you, man. Thank you. All gratitude right. is my attitude. Thank you.
And shout out to my wife. This was our 28th going out anniversary. This is October 8th is when I asked her out when we were in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we celebrated. Shout out to Auntie Choka and Auntie Benz, who took the kids this weekend. And me and the wife got massages. We just cuddled in bed, watched television, had some great food, and we just enjoyed ourselves. So
that's what life is about.
That's what it's about. All right. Well, let's get the show cracking, all right? Front page news, what are we talking about?
We'll be talking about, well, since we're discussing mental health, let's talk about what's going on as they are trying to figure out what's happening with the U.S. military as suicides are rising, and they realize how much they need to seek to address mental health issues.
You think?
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Hey, new joint. SZA, hate you.
This is not new.
I know. I just wanted to say that. It would be dope if it was a new joint right now. Like, something new, maybe? No?
I mean, it's plenty.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Music out.
All right. Well, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right, let's get in some front page news. Now in football, the Giants beat the Green Bay Packers 27-22 in London. New England beat Detroit. Jets beat Miami. Minnesota beat Chicago. Tampa Bay beat Atlanta. New Orleans beat Seattle. The Chargers beat Cleveland. Tennessee beat Washington. Houston beat Jacksonville. Buffalo beat Pittsburgh. San Francisco beat Carolina. She said yes. Dallas beat the Rams. Philadelphia beat Arizona. Baltimore beat Cincinnati. And the Raiders and Chiefs will play tonight at 8:15 p.m.
I don't like how you sped past the best D in the league, the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, don't just be, you know, don't be just speeding, D, huh? Don't be just speeding past the D.
You
right?
Tested out that D.
When you get to that D, you slow down on that D.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Right. And you let that D roll off your tongue nice and easy. All right. And you say the Dallas Cowboys, best D in the league. Drop on the clues bombs for us, damn it.
And shout out to all the Mets fans out there. I know you guys are heartbroken right now. You a Mets fan, Ray? No, you're not. You're a Red Sox. All right. Yeah, the Mets, after having a great season, they lost last two games, which put them out the playoffs. All right. What else we got, Yeezy?
All right. Well, as suicide rates are rising in the U.S. military, they are looking to address mental health issues. The Pentagon is seeking to confront spiraling suicide rates in the military ranks and shine a light on the realities for service members who are trying to get mental health help and how difficult that can be and how intimidating that can be and frustrating and dispiriting. There's a lot of different stories of people who finished tours, came back home feeling emotionally numb. There were warning signs of issues of disorientation, depression, memory loss, chronic exhaustion. And being able to say, I need help, something's wrong, and actually get help has been really difficult for a lot of people in the military. Now they are trying to figure out, what do we need to do?
You need to provide these brothers and sisters with proper mental health services. That's what you need to do. Especially the brothers and sisters who have been to war and witnessed all that killing and, you know, violence. Not to mention when they do come home from these wars and stuff, they get treated terribly in this country. Do you know how embarrassing it must be to come home and don't have a place to stay in the country you just fought for?
Now, as some of the bases, healthcare workers are saying that they're understaffed, burned out, and can't see patients on a timely basis. If a soldier seeks help, they often have to wait weeks for an appointment. One longtime counselor said, we have people who need our services and we can't get to them. We need staff, and until we get them, we will continue to have soldiers die.
That should just be part of the whole thing. Like, they should know that's what these soldiers need when they come home, like immediately.
Mm-hmm. All right, now Draymond Green is going to step away from the Warriors after punching Jordan Poole. That dramatic blowout that happened has sparked hundreds of memes on the internet, and here is what Draymond Green had to say.
I was wrong for my actions that took place on Wednesday, and for that, you know, I have apologized to my team. I have apologized to Jordan, and, you know, I wanted to take that a step further. With the video leaking, there's a huge embarrassment that comes with that. Not only for myself, as I was the one that committed the action, the embarrassment that comes for me is what it is, and that's something that I have to deal with. But the embarrassment that Jordan has to deal with, and that this team has to deal with, that this organization has to deal with, but also Jordan's family. And quite frankly, if my mother saw that video, I know how my mother would feel.
your mother would tell you keep your guard up at all times. I mean, damn, Jordan Poole did shove Draymond Green right before he got slugged. If you're gonna shove somebody like that, you got to expect something in return.
Yeah, but that's after Draymond Green got in his face, though. He got in his face.
Yeah, that happens all the time, though.
He got in his face. He pushed him. Get the way out of my face. All right.
So after you do that push, you better keep your guard up, just in case. Yeah, I'm not saying it's right,
it's a
but
I'm not get out my face and punch me dead in my jibs.
Now Draymond Green also said he did think
in my face.
The video.
You can't tell him how to react.
You can't get in my face.
BS. He said he watched the video 15 times,
and it
looks a lot worse than he even thought. Here's what he had to say.
If I'm being 100% honest, I thought it was bullshit. You know, no other video leaks from practice. You know, when we're working on our sets, they don't leak. And saying that, when I think of myself in the moment, I watched the video 15 times, maybe more. Because when I watch the video, I'm looking at the video, and I'm like, yo, this looks awful. This looks even worse than I thought it was. And then I had to take a step back, too, and realize that this video was actually released this way to look that way.
That is very true. But, you know, stuff like that happens, it clearly was released on purpose. Like, somebody released it because they're clearly trying to, you know, get Draymond Green out of there.
Well, they're trying to figure out who is behind this release, and here's what Steve Kerr had to say.
I guess, from your perspective, how does the video leaking yesterday just kind of change the situation?
We've had those discussions with individuals, with the team, and those discussions will stay private as long as nobody leaks those conversations, and puts us in a very, very difficult spot. Everybody in a difficult spot. It's like if you had a camera in your family and there was a family dispute, would you really want to discuss it with the world?
No,
of course not. I want to handle it internally. For whatever reason, we've had leaks in this organization. This is not the first time, so that needs to be cleaned up, and that's a big part of the issue.
And just go to TMZ. TMZ paid for that. Clearly.
Yeah, they paid for 50, 100 grand. So
just go to TMZ and ask TMZ who sold it to you.
They probably don't give away their sources, though.
Sure, yeah, they probably won't. Mm-hmm. But stuff like that happens in practice all the time. You just heard Steve Kerr talking. Michael Jordan punched Steve Kerr in practice at one time back in the day.
I remember.
You heard that during the Last Dance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like that happen. All I'm telling you is for anybody out there, if you shove somebody, keep your guard up.
If you get in my face, I'm shoving you on my ass.
Absolutely.
Face,
but by the way, if you get in somebody's face, that person can push you, that person can punch you, they can do whatever they want to do. But after that happens, everybody got to keep their guard up. You got what you asked for. Draymond got in his face, Jordan pushed him, Draymond punched Jordan. It's over.
It's the difference between a punch in the face and a push to get somebody away from
you. Man, you can't tell people how to react.
Front page news,
we know this
guys.
Already. Stop. Shut up. No, stop lying to people.
No.
You can't tell people how to react.
The same team.
I don't care.
If I push you in my face and you punch me in my face, that's a far different thing.
You shouldn't have pushed me.
Nah.
And
it's
you can't tell me how to react.
It's not the same.
Yeah, I didn't say it's the same. I'm just telling you that you can't tell somebody how to react.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Wake up, wake up,
wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, what's up, Envy?
Trav, what's up, my brother?
Oh, man, the Philadelphia Eagles fan. Trav, what up, bro?
Star, Yee.
Hey, Trav. Hey, boo.
Hey. Star.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about that big D, baby.
The best D in the league. The biggest and best D in the league.
Okay.
Envy.
Yes.
Envy, you be seeing that big D out there, Envy.
I don't be paying attention, sir.
You definitely be paying attention, because whenever you look at the Giants and you see 4-1, you know who gave them that one loss, don't you? Huh?
You know who gave you that one loss.
You know
loss,
who gave you that one loss.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
Still owe Trav Cheeks. Oh, no, Trav, he cashed in.
Now let's see. Who y'all play next week?
Oh,
the Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm going to be at the game, baby. That big D is coming.
Let's see how you do. I dare you to wear that Cowboys jersey in that Eagles game.
I'm definitely going to have my Cowboys gear on. Anybody you think, care nobody at the league?
Exactly. Trav is gay in Philly. You think he care about goddamn wearing a Cowboys jersey at the Eagles stadium?
Touche.
He from the hood of Philly.
Touche.
I don't know if you know about this, but when we go to the league, you'll also understand how many Cowboys fans that Philadelphia has, baby.
That's right.
We nationwide. We're America's football team, baby.
America's team, baby.
Goodbye, Trav.
Don't hang up on that, man, because he right.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, yo. It's all about you, DJ Envy. How old are you?
Good morning. How may I help you
What's
this morning?
What's going on
here? Yeah. I'm going to get it off my chest. I've been wanting to get this off my chest since I was at your car show in Jersey. That's how long I've been wanting to get this off my chest.
Uh-oh.
I've been calling for this. This is my moment right here. So I'm going to say, first of all.
Hold on, please. Hold on, man.
What is going on?
All right, continue.
All right, I'm going to send happy vibes out to the Breakfast Club as a whole. But DJ Envy, I got to say.
Hold on, ma'am. Hold on. One second, ma'am. Hold on. Okay, continue.
I'm going to send I must send love vibes out to you for real. I watched you at your car show in Jersey. I was a vendor with my Twitter Life Papers business, and I got to say, you was out there with us early in the morning. You took great care of people's property. I watch you just take and nurture them cars like they were your own. I got much respect for you, what you do for your car show. I watched you all day long. You was engaged with us. You didn't separate yourself. So I'm just sending you salute and happy vibes out to all your car shows. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming and visiting our booth and giving us love and taking pictures and everything. Salute to you, brother. If I had a fancy car, I would definitely send it to you. I wouldn't even worry after watching you, because I watch people how they deal with stuff. And I got to say, I got much respect for you and the love that you share for people's property when they send it to your car show. So peace out, and I hope all your car shows be full to capacity. Aww.
Thank you so much. And thank you for coming, man. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you for being a vendor. And thank you so much. I mean, that means a lot. That's what it's all about. It's about being out there with the people and sharing the moments. And anybody who lent me their car or gave me their car for the car show, I absolutely treat it like it's mine, because that's the only way, you know. And because, you know, these cars mean a lot to a lot of people, whether they're Hondas or Bentleys or Ferraris or Toyotas. It's somebody's car, and we appreciate them giving it to us for the car show. And the next one is Alabama, November 27th. So, Mama, if you're around, drive on down to Alabama with us.
Listen, I'm already booked, so I would have been there. Shout out to your team, Ashley. All y'all made me feel welcome. My business is Total Life Changes. Of course, you know I'm going to shout that out. But the next time you near me and I'm not booked already, because I do vending to build my business, I'm there. I was 100% there for you.
All right. Well, shout out your business so people
Happy
know what
Monday.
Business you are.
Shout Happy out your Monday.
All right.
Okay, maybe not. All right. Have a good one. Got to get it a shout out business. All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Power 105.1.
I'm dialing.
Hey, what you doing, man?
I'm calling you.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this O-Jizzle.
O-Jizzle,
what's happening?
What's up, O-Jizzle?
What's going down? What's up, gang? How y'all doing this morning?
What's up?
Blessed, black, and highly favored. What's happening?
Hey, man, this Draymond Green, man. Come on, God. You know that ain't right, man. Yeah.
I didn't say it was right, but why do y'all keep worrying about what's right and what's wrong? It's reaction things, right? If you push somebody, you got to have your guard up.
You are absolutely right, but if you get in somebody's face, you gotta. What comes with that? Though?
That's right. What came with it was a push. So maybe Jordan should have said, you know what? Let me just swing on this dude first when he come up in my face instead of just pushing him.
It's not right. It's like if you got two kids or two players, like you could push each other. That's cool. But now when you punch each other, right. If my kids punch each other in the face, there's a big problem.
Hey, let me ask y'all a question. Why y'all don't like dealing with reality? It ain't about reality. Right and wrong. It's about the reality of the situation. If you get in somebody's face, you got to expect whatever from the person's face you got into. And then if you decide to push that person, you got to deal with the consequences of what comes with that
He's
push.
He's the aggressor, though. He's the aggressor. He's the one that walked over to me and got
Man,
in my face.
Man, y'all better.
He's asking for trouble. That's exactly. He's asking for trouble. So you come in my face, I'm pushing you out of my face.
Okay, then. So what's next? What's next after that push?
It shouldn't have been a punch in
That's
the face.
That's what y'all think. Y'all don't deal with reality.
Punch, though. It shouldn't have been a punch.
You can't say that. You can't tell somebody how to react.
Nah. Not right. Well, that's why
you just can't. I hope y'all don't go around in life thinking that you can, control the consequences of your actions.
I hope that people don't go around thinking that you could just walk in somebody's face. Hello,
man. Y'all are insane.
Hello.
Yo. What's going on? This is out of Tampa. How y'all doing this morning?
What up, brother? Get it off your chest.
Yes, sir. So this is more for Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
I need you to calm down when you're talking about those trash Cowboys.
Well, you mean the 4-1 Cowboys with the best D in the league?
Oh, the best D in the league this year. We'll see how it holds up for a whole season with Charlamagne. It's the same old story with you guys. Y'all get a couple of victories or whatever. Y'all beat y'all chest, and we know how this is going to end, man.
This year is different. The defense. Defense wins championships. Michael Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence. It's different this year, baby. You see it.
He says that every year.
It takes more than two guys to win a championship.
We got a great defense. I said the defense. I just highlighted two of our best defensive players, but we got a great, phenomenal defense. Best D in the league.
It's all right. I will say this, though. I'll give the NFC some love. I love what the Giants been doing. You know what I'm saying? I am a Rams fan, so I keep that L. I'll take that one. I like the Eagles. So we'll see how this goes. But Sean, we're going to end up crying by the end of the year.
Let me ask you a question. Do you like Dallas's D?
I like Micah Parsons. I think the defense as a total, y'all still got some holes to fill, man. Y'all are okay. I think everybody's overhyping because of Micah. Micah changed y'all life.
And DeMarcus Lawrence, bro. Don't front on DeMarcus holes, Lawrence.
He's straight. We'll see. And we're only a couple of games in, baby. Talk to me by week 14.
Well, Actually, more than a couple of games in. We're a quarter through the season, sir. Okay.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and I'm sure y'all saw this video of a baby being passed through a crowd. And
yeah,
I
want
to tell
wild.
You who that got passed to and what ended up happening. I want to hear your thoughts.
That was wild. All right, we'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk a new versus.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right, so are you guys ready for another versus? What's the last one you guys watched? And we're really excited about.
I seen some of the one with Omarion and Mario.
Okay.
Was that the last one, I guess, right?
Yeah. Ray J run around, yep.
Well, let's get ready for So-So, Def, and Bad Boy to compete in a versus battle.
That's going
to
happen?
Yeah, it looks like that is going to happen. Jermaine Dupri confirmed that versus is on the way.
Yeah, did he confirm?
I guess so. I don't think he would say it if it didn't happen. What do y'all think?
That's not true. It's 2022. Everybody says things just because.
I wonder if there's rules.
Well, right now there's no scheduled date for the battle, but people are already starting to place their bets on who they think is going to win.
And where they going to do it at?
We don't know.
I thought he said they're Atlanta. That's what I thought he said.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
Who wins that?
Yeah.
Diddy's catalog is a beast. With all the records he's executive produced.
I've said this before and I'll say it again.
From Jodeci
if
to
it's
Mary
no, If it's no hip-hop, it's more of a fair battle between So-So, Def, and Bad Boy.
I agree.
If it's no hip-hop, if it's just R&B and remixes, that's a great battle. That's what I would keep it at. R&B and remixes for So-So, Def versus Bad Boy.
Especially because Diddy's talking about R&B is dead, so you do all R&B, then
R&B and remixes. Fight. That's a great one. Mm-hmm. If it's R&B and remixes.
All right, now Rick Ross was recently on an episode of Hype Debate. Rick Ross and DJ Khaled, and they got into a discussion about almond milk. All right, here's what happened.
I'm still not up on the almond
milk. Oh, no,
Ross. Rosé still frightened.
No. Get the almond frightened. Milk.
I just got up on 2% milk a couple years.
No. That's no. Get the almond of. Milk.
Now y'all trying to conspiracy.
No.
And it's the question. Is it from the almond of the walnut? Is they squeezing it out of the peanut?
I don't have that answer, and I usually have every answer.
I've been on almond milk for years. Dropping the clues bombs for almond milk. I can't do regular milk. That milk from the cow, I'm lactose intolerant. So that's what you need to be scared of, that 2%, Ross.
I actually use oat milk.
I like oat milk, too. That 2%, that 2% going to have you on the toilet all day.
All right.
At least me, anyway.
Well, you know. Yeah.
2% milk in Wingstop?
But yes, almond milk is made with almonds, by the way, and water.
Can you imagine drinking 2% milk and eating Wingstop? What that would do to your guts?
Almond milk.
Get up on the almond milk, Rosé.
I even like oat milk and almond milk ice cream bars and everything. That's the only type of ice cream
milk,
I can have. I can't have
good.
Dairy. All right, now Rick Ross is also threatening to sue a woman for using the Boss trademark for an event. So he is actually... he's suing her for using his moniker to promote her I'm the Biggest Boss conference that takes place in Houston. I believe it's next week, actually. And there'll be a lot of people there. Master P, Romeo, Vivica Fox, all of them will be there. And so now he is taking legal action against Tiffany McIntosh for using that. I feel like boss, though, is a pretty common word. Yeah, you saw Afrochella. They're getting sued by Coachella. I thought about you.
They own the name.
I mean, not by Coachella, by Coachella.
Coachella.
Yeah, Coachella. That's wild, though. Afrochella been around for a minute too, right?
Yeah, Coachella.
But Coachella's been around longer.
Oh, I know. But yeah. I just say, I'm like, why they wait till now to sue?
It's super.
Like they jumped on Envy Ass quick,
fast.
Afrochella done had a few of those.
Yeah, it is. Nah. I don't understand, but
jumped on my ass quick.
I actually thought Afrochella and I thought they were together.
I thought so, too,
because
I was like,
well, that's why they're suing, I guess. I guess it makes sense, then, because the Coachella, if people think that, they want to make sure.
They're definitely using that clip. I just want to let you know because they listen every morning. So they're going to be like, Charlamagne. Even Charlamagne said, I thought they were together. They're definitely using that clip.
No, but shout out to Afrochella. Amazing event. But I guess they're probably going to have to change the name because as you can see, Envy, you had to change.
They had all types of audio.
Yeah.
On me.
You had to change your name. So, all right.
I got flashbacks. Jeez.
You got PTSD from that?
I got PTSD. Goodness gracious.
All right. Now, Twitter is reacting to a newborn baby being passed to The Rock. And so it's a clip that's been making its rounds on social media. He was on stage in Mexico City, and somebody passed a tiny baby over to him.
That was wild.
Through the crowd. And then he picked up the baby as the crowd was cheering for that. And he posted, our Black Adam tour has been electric, fun, and emotional. People do cry, and they hand me things. I was not surprised to be handed this beautiful little baby. Her father caught my attention because he had tears in his eyes when he held her up high and gestured for me to hold her. I honestly thought he was holding a toy doll he wanted me to have as a gift. Can you imagine passing your baby, a little newborn baby, through a crowd of strangers?
That father's a groupie. There's no way in hell you have a newborn baby. You gonna crowd surf your newborn baby so a celebrity can hold a baby?
I see this totally different. It's never too early to crowd surf, okay? What? If you start them early, they won't look as shook as ASAP Rocky did when he was crowd surfing the other day. All right? It's never too early to get your kid crowd
surfing. You see the baby's neck? Nobody was holding the baby's neck. The baby's neck was doing the web. No.
Listen, man. No. That little baby got an experience. So by the time by the time he start going to Chetlis when he's a teenager, he'd be like, man, I've been doing this.
All I know is I think about babies being so susceptible to the germs and everything.
Who would ever think, I'm going to give my baby to this next person?
Anything could have went wrong.
Then the next person, you don't even know if they know how to hold a baby.
The baby's already, first of all, I don't know why the baby was there to begin with.
Yeah, why was the baby there?
I said newborn baby.
That's number one. But I mean, you know, if you're going to bring them, let them really experience it. A little crowd surf. That's all. You can't drink. So, you know, you got to have some type of fun at an event like that. Drop on a Clues bomb to that baby, man. I've never been crowd surfing. That baby got one up on me, and that baby's only a few weeks old.
Well, thank God the baby's okay. That's all I have to say. And that is your rumor report.
Why would The Rock accept the baby?
Because The Rock got titties.
What's he going to do? No, don't give me that baby.
Yes.
He can't do that in front of all those people.
What? I'm on stage. Yeah,
we would have been out here like, The Rock is a terrible person. He rejects the newborn baby.
And this is why the world makes zero sense, right? Because we're complaining about the baby being passed around, but then we're saying The Rock would have been wrong if he would have said, don't pass the baby.
That's right. No, they shouldn't have passed the baby, but I'm saying that's the parents' fault.
But why would The Rock
that.
Look like a terrible person if The Rock said, do he not pass that baby?
Because the baby's already there.
Do not give me that baby.
The Rock said, The Rock would have said, do not pass that baby. What's wrong with y'all? He'd look like a stable, sensible person.
I would have moonwalked out of there. Nobody, do not give me that baby.
Nobody would have been like, The Rock is wrong for saying that.
If they would have dropped the baby as they passed it off to The Rock or the neck, no. Do not give me that
baby. If they tried to pass him the baby and he just put his hands behind his back, like, I'm not taking this baby.
Yes.
And then the baby fell.
If I'm worth as much as The Rock, I wouldn't have touched the baby either. I'd have been like, I'm not, no.
I think as a human, you would be scared something might happen and be like, hold on, give me that. Like, where is this parent?
Let's hear the audio.
I hate this show. I ain't hear no baby passing.
I don't know what you wanted to hear. I don't know if y'all saw Rosemary's Baby. Have you guys seen that classic movie?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay.
I didn't hear no baby passing.
I thought The Rock was going to say something. Thank you for the baby. This is nothing. That was the audio. Good job, guys. All right. That is your rumor report. Front page news is next. What are we talking about?
We are going to talk about North Korea. They have confirmed the simulated use of nuclear weapons to wipe out enemies.
All right. We'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Jay, Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now in football, the Giants beat Green Bay Packers 27-22 in London. All right, Baltimore beat Cincinnati. Philly beat Arizona. Dallas beat the Rams. San Francisco beat Carolina. Buffalo beat Pittsburgh. Houston beat Jacksonville. Tennessee beat Washington. The Chargers beat Cleveland. New Orleans beat Seattle. Tampa Bay beat Atlanta. Minnesota beat Chicago. The Jets won again. They beat Miami. And New England beat Detroit 29-0.
And the Dallas Cowboys beat the Los Angeles Rams. I just want to throw that back out there again. We're 4-1.
So are we.
Best D in the league. Did you say that part? Say it.
No.
Say it's the best D in the league.
No, I'll pass.
It's the hardest D in the league.
And Monday Night Football, the Raiders are playing the Chiefs at 8:15. Now, what else we got, Yeezy?
All right. Well, North Korea has confirmed the simulated use of nuclear weapons to wipe out enemies. And Kim Jong-un signaled that he would conduct more provocative tests. Now, they are viewing the drills as a military threat in South Korea. And North Korea considers the U.S.-South Korean military drills as an invasion rehearsal. And so even though allies have steadfastly said they are defensive in nature, these launches that have all been supervised by Kim Jong-un included a nuclear-capable ballistic missile launched under a reservoir in the northeast. There's other ballistic missiles designed to launch nuclear strikes on South Korean airfields, ports, and command facilities, and a new type ground-to-ground ballistic missile that flew over Japan. They said North Korea also flew 150 warplanes for separate live firing and other drills in the country's first ever such training.
You know, it's crazy that we have Russia and North Korea all threatening the use of nuclear weapons. You have President Joe Biden literally saying out of his mouth that the world is at risk of nuclear Armageddon, and folks don't seem to care at all. Like, we too busy discussing what celebrities are doing when the threat of nuclear war could possibly be upon us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now to switch gears a little bit, for all of you pet owners out there, do you guys know what the most expensive dog is?
A Shih Tzu.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No, the Messick.
The South African Boer Boer. Not Boer Boer. Boer Boer. What's it called?
I don't know.
Boer Boer. What's that dog called?
I never heard of that one. All right, well, the most expensive dog is a Tibetan Mastiff.
Never heard of it.
Oh, that's the big dogs.
Yeah, those are huge.
The big, 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 big dogs.
Actually, my best friend, Santi, she had a Mastiff in Brooklyn in a tiny apartment, and those dogs are huge. And so anyway, they're saying that's the most expensive dog. One dog was sold at a premium pet fair, and that was in China, for 12 million yuan, which is around almost $2 million.
Yeah, those are huge dogs.
To a property developer.
Dogs.
Them South African Boer Boers or whatever the hell they call them, some big-ass dogs, too.
Now, the Mastiff, I think, is what French Montana has, right? He has that big dog you see all the time.
That, but the Boer Boer I'm talking about is a Mastiff, too, though.
It's a Mastiff. Okay, yeah. Well, this is the Tibetan Mastiff. I had to walk that dog one time, and
it walks you.
Yes. It actually did drag me to the ground because it started chasing like a squirrel. I was like, wait.
But what do you do if that dog ever turns on you? Because you can't. What do you do? The dog is humongous.
Pray.
You just pray.
I want me one of them South African Boer Boers.
The kids would probably be scared of
them. I'm going to get it as a puppy. I'm going to raise them in the house. Mm-hmm. Trader Truth is supposed to hook me up with one, but I don't know what happened. Trey got busy.
He's really busy right now. He's got other things happening.
He's in Florida right now helping people.
It's been about a year, so Trey, maybe a couple at this point.
Well, for those dogs, on average, they cost between $3,000 to $5,000 when you purchase them.
That's about right.
Yeah.
For them Mastiffs.
You know, we got the French Bulldog. That, how much did I pay for that dog? $2,000, but that was like a good price. But those are between $2,500 to $4,000. Really cute, friendly dogs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right. Now, when we come back, let's have a conversation. 800-585-1051. We were talking earlier about Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. For people that don't know what happened, you want to break down what happened over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, Draymond Green has apologized, and that was for punching Jordan Poole. The video did leak on TMZ. Apparently, they had got into an argument over an alleged contract extension and some jokes being made. And so Draymond said he's going to step away from the team for the next few days. He has apologized to Jordan Poole privately and also publicly, and is going to take some time to recalibrate.
Yeah, Jordan told Draymond, you can't swim in my pool, and Draymond told Jordan, you can't smoke none of my green, and it just turned into a whole situation.
I don't know if that's what happened, but yes, Draymond got into Jordan Poole's face. Jordan Poole pushed him away, and Draymond Green punched him in the face. So we're asking 800-585-1051, what are your thoughts? You know, if we're on the same team, yeah, we can push each other. Yeah, we can get mad. We can get upset. We can yell. We can scream. What, you going to punch me in my jibs?
You can't control somebody's reaction to you, man.
Damn, they knocked me out?
Like, everybody keeps talking about trying to say what's right or wrong in a situation. It doesn't matter what's right or wrong. It's about how you can't control someone's reaction. And I really want us to stop thinking we can't
punch your teammate in the face,
You can say that, but you just don't know how people are going to react.
Like, I'm sure it happens all the time. We just don't know about it.
That doesn't make it right.
Draymond got in Jordan Poole's face, so Jordan pushed him. Then Draymond snuffed him. You can say Draymond didn't have to get in his face. You can say Jordan didn't have to push him. You can say Draymond didn't have to snuff him and all that. All that's probably true, but once again, you can't tell someone how to react to any of it. That's why you should really leave people alone, because you don't know how people are going to react.
Like, we could push each other all day, but once you punch me in my face, it's on another level.
Listen, if I make a joke to you about, you know, you can't swim in Jordan's pool.
Right.
I don't expect you to get mad enough to step to me and get in my face. Right? Like, the joke doesn't warrant that. Okay. But then when I push you, you know, I can't punch you in the face. I don't know what you're going to do. So if I push you, I got to be ready for whatever comes with that push.
I'm more disrespectful.
What's more disrespectful than punching you in the face?
I'm going to kiss you in your mouth.
All right. Well, that's still assault. if I didn't ask for it. So whether it's a punch in the face or you know, a kiss to the mouth, right? It's still assault. It's still a form of assault.
Hey, let's talk about it. 800-585-1051. What are your thoughts? Let's talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about Jordan Poole and Draymond Green. Now, what happened over the weekend, Yeezy?
Well, Draymond Green has publicly apologized to Jordan Poole, and he's also going to step away from the Warriors for a few days just to take some time to recalibrate, but apparently he punched him.
How are you going to suspend yourself, Draymond? You can't tell us you're walking away. You know what I mean? You got to let the Warriors...
I mean, they might have asked him to, and then he just publicly apologized and said he was going to...
Yeah, but the Warriors still got to announce that, though. The Warriors have to announce that just because, like, they usually handle those type of situations internally, so you got to let the organization announce that.
Yeah, I thought it was whack. I mean, you know, we've all played on team sports before or been in situations where you and a teammate or you and a partner didn't agree on things. And sometimes it might get, if you play basketball, you know, to a little pushing and shoving. But I think punching in the face is totally disrespectful. Like, you do that against your enemies, your competition, not your own teammates. So I thought it was whack. I thought it was...
I don't know if it was whack or not, because I don't know what Jordan Poole said. You know what I'm saying?
What could he say?
A lot. There's a lot of different things he could have said. We don't know what he said. He could have said somebody's kid. I'm just speculating. I don't know what it was. I don't know what Jordan Poole said to warrant that type of reaction.
They said it was something about a contract extension and maybe some jokes being made.
Well, I was hearing jokes that he kept making jokes about you're not going to be able to swim in Jordan's pool. I don't know if that's true or not. That could be just internet rumor.
You make somebody punch you, but you can't swim in my pool?
But here's the thing. It don't matter what's right or wrong in this situation. It's about how you can't control somebody's reactions. And I really want us to stop thinking we can. Draymond got in Jordan Poole's face, so Jordan pushed him, then Draymond snuffed him. You can say Draymond didn't have to get in his face.
You can say
Jordan didn't have to push him. You can say Draymond didn't have to snuff him. And all of that could be true, but you just can't tell somebody how to react to any of that. So
yeah, that makes you the aggressor. And then also, it's like,
No. What if Jordan was the aggressor because Jordan was talking crazy? What if Jordan was talking crazy and making threats to Draymond? That's why Draymond got in his face. So how can you just say Draymond was the aggressor? I know that Jordan's light skin and you up here sticking up for beige people, but that's what happens to beige people when they don't wash their mouth around highly melanated individuals like Draymond Green.
We're playing basketball. We could all talk smack, right? But you can't get in my face. You can't punch me in my jaw.
Depends on what you said.
Mm-mm. No.
You don't know what he said. We don't know what Jordan said. We don't. The little young boy, watch your freaking mouth when you're talking to a veteran. All right? I got 4 championship rings. You lucky to be here. All right? I bet you'll stay in a child's place next time, young man.
That's why you're not swimming in my pool. That's why you can't swim in my pool.
And by the way, that's flirting. What if Jordan was flirting with Draymond and Draymond got tired of the flirting? Stop disrespecting that man. He might watch too much Breakfast Club. He's like, well, shoot, the beige one on Breakfast Club are always flirting with the dark skin one. So let me tell Draymond, come swim in my pool. You know you want to swim in this pool, Draymond. You want to swim in this pool? See? Watch your freaking mouth, young boy.
See, you take it. Okay?
Hello, who's this?
Hey, morning, y'all.
Good morning. What's your
Draymond
name?
Draymond Green, not fight. Huh? Man, you don't fight your teammates like that. I don't care what he did, what you do, what you say. Y'all deal with that later on. Y'all talking out, do what y'all gotta do. Draymond Green, we can't be worried about how Draymond Green reacted to anything because he was an aggressor. He approached him. All Jordan did was
whoa. You don't know what Jordan said that caused him to get approached.
Okay. So sticks and stones break your bones. The worst you never heard.
That's a damn lie. All right. Well, somebody, you got children? You got children?
No.
All right, though. See, I can't see. That's right, exactly.
Said, no, like, I heard that. No, that's no, like, no.
Wait.
Would you pass your baby to the
rocket? All right, let me ask you a question. You out with your mom, right? You and your mom walking. Somebody walks up to your mom and tells your mom SMD. Or better yet, somebody walks up to your mom and says, oh, remember you used to SMD me back in the day?
These are 2 grown men.
So if you walking with your mama and a grown man comes up to y'all and says, hey, your mama used to SMD me back in the day, what you going to do?
It depends on if my mom used to
SMD him. See what I'm saying? Yeah, everybody be making up excuses, but they be lying. Stop lying, bro.
Hello, who's this?
It's Aaron.
Aaron, what's your thoughts, Aaron, from the Bronx?
Yo, man, Draymond, I mean, I'm kind of on the fence. I kind of agree with Charlamagne a little bit because, I mean, you can't be hitting people or pushing people and
you got in my face. We teammates.
You know what?
You got in my face. We teammates.
What caused Draymond to get in Jordan's face? We don't know.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, yeah, Draymond ain't have to turn up like that. He always do that. He always on some extra, like, overzealous, like, just unnecessary. He do that on the court,
and then
take it to the next level.
And then, Aaron, how do I play on the team with you? Like, after you just punch me in my jibs, damn near knock me out, how do we play?
Man, if y'all don't knock it off, man, listen, if y'all could see what used to happen in the early 1900s, see, the problem is we didn't have video back then. Them guys fighting practice and fighting in the locker room all the time. Like, stop. Now, Michael Jordan punched Steve Kerr in the face, and they went out there and won 3 championships.
My question is, what are jibs?
You said what?
Envy keeps saying he punches me in my jibs.
Jibs is your
Envy
face.
Old. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You can't do that, man. You can't. And now I'm gonna play with you tomorrow. I got to pass
yes.
the ball.
Yeah, Michael Jordan punched Steve Kerr in the face. And they went out there and won championships together. Yes, you can, Steve. Keep going.
Steve Kerr didn't have an option. Like,
why he didn't have an option?
Where was he gonna go? Michael Jordan was the best player in the league.
So what? You can't. I mean, see, y'all be moving the goalposts for
sometimes. Yes.
It makes no sense. Like, yes,
it's a difference.
You just said a teammate cannot play with a person because they got punched in the face. So it matters what your status is.
Kind of.
Man, shut up.
Kind of. 800-585-1051. Jordan Poole, Draymond Green got into it over the weekend. Draymond Green got into Jordan Poole's face. Jordan Poole pushed him. Draymond snuffed him. Let's talk about it. 800-585-1051 is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking about Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. Now, what happened, Yee? What was the breakdown?
All right. Well, Draymond Green is stepping away from the Warriors after punching Jordan Poole. They got into an argument, and somehow the video leaked.
Yeah, Jordan told Draymond, you can't swim in my pool. Draymond told Jordan, you can't smoke my green. And next thing you know, they fighting. It's just out of control.
That wasn't a fight.
What you mean that wasn't a fight?
Two people have to swing. That's a fight.
Pushed him. Jordan pushed him.
That wasn't a fight. I was like, get out my face.
Bro, y'all are ridiculous. I don't know what world we live in where y'all think that y'all can control how people react to things that you do. Draymond got in Jordan's face. Some people could say Draymond didn't have to do that. By the way, let's go back a step further. Whatever Jordan was saying to Draymond, some people might say Jordan didn't have to say that. Then when Draymond got in his face, some people could say Draymond shouldn't have gotten in his face. Then after Jordan pushed him, they say, well, Jordan didn't have to push him. Then when Draymond snuffed him, they could be like, oh, well, Draymond didn't have to snuff him. All of that, once again, could be true, but you can't tell anybody how to react. You just can't.
Shouldn't punch your teammate in the face. Hello, who's this?
What's going on? It's Omega Red. What's going on?
Omega Red, what's up? Talk to
me. I thought you said old red. I was like, boy, you got to stop this.
No, man, I want to chime in on that pool and Green situation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, I think Green was a little bogus, man, because, you know, he was all up in Poole's face and hit him with the head down, you know?
What happened to cause Draymond to get in his face? What did Jordan say to him that made Draymond get in his face?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
I don't know what he said.
Exactly. That's my point. We don't even know what Jordan said to cause Draymond to get in his face, but we saying Draymond was wrong for getting in his face. We don't know what Jordan said. Jordan might have said, your mom my ass for all we know. We don't know what he said.
He could have, though, but, you know, he hit my man pretty hard, though.
Well,
he did.
Beige people need to recognize when they talking to a highly melanated black god. Okay. All right.
Hello, who's this?
That's what Bobby Brown would have did to
Renard.
Any lights can singer back in the day.
Yo, shut up. Good morning, man. What's your thoughts?
Man, listen, Draymond, that's expected about Draymond. Because honestly, if you think about it, what Draymond's been doing for the last longest, look at what he said about KD. You know what I mean? Draymond's been being a butthole pretty much his whole career.
What?
See, I don't like this. Y'all using Draymond's reputation against him, but we, once again, don't even know what Jordan Poole said to cause Draymond to get in his face, and then Jordan pushed Draymond. And now we acting like Draymond overreacted because we saw the punch. No. We don't know what has led up to them even having this conversation.
But what we do know is that Draymond is the one who apologized, not Jordan. But yeah, Draymond's the one stepping away.
Because Draymond's smart enough to know the video's out. I look bad. It don't even matter what happened before that. Let me step away. Well, I get it.
Hello, who's this?
It's your boy Jib.
What's up, bro?
You say your name Jibs? Up, Envy say you be getting punched in your all the time.
Yo, shut up, man. Go ahead, man. What's your thoughts, bro?
Hey, man, I see it like this. Every cause got an effect. If you can't stand the effect, don't do the cause.
That's right. Thank you. Finally, somebody with some sense. Like, it's and then they we try to control The effect. No, you can't control the effect.
It's not a matter of controlling the effect. It's you don't punch your teammate in the face.
You don't know that.
What you mean you don't know that?
Look. You don't know that. Some people may not punch their teammate in the face. Draymond clearly is one who will. And guess what? Now that people know Draymond is the type to punch their teammate in the face, they're going to watch how they talk to Draymond in practice.
You're still not swimming in my pool.
Well, you're not smoking none of my green.
Well, what's the moral of the story if there is one?
The moral of the story is what I always tell y'all on this radio. You can't tell somebody how to react. It's really just that simple. You just can't. I wish that we could control people's reactions to things, but you can't. So you better mind your damn business if you can't fight.
Now we got rumors on the way.
That's what you better do.
Well, we got rumors on the way.
All right. We're going to talk about scamming when we come back. We'll talk about somebody who has been released from jail. And there was a whole series on this person. Also, we'll talk about an NFL free agent who was being accused of selling fake watches.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's the breakfast.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Breakfast Club, good morning.
Listen up.
It's just the end. All the gossip. The Rumor Report. With Angela Yee.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, let's talk about all the women, starting with Cardi B. She previewed a remix to Munch on social media.
You met me, I never met you. Drink my bath water, I'm special. If you tell somebody we fuck, but I ain't none, that nigga, you cap. Looking for the Munch, get it for breakfast. Bitch is scum, bitch is desperate. Bitch be dirty, go get tested. Way too easy, don't want to catch it. He standing on his lookers, I said we could chill. Like what? He wants to see what it is like a gender reveal. Like, kissing on bitches is really a skill. Like what? Bitches is dead to me, damn, they dead to me. Where you looking, take a picture, get the best light. Light. He looking at my ass while it go left, right. When he hit it from behind, he threw it just right. He looking front, to back like it's a wet, right. Smoochie,
you thought I was killing you? No.
Dagging up my... Did you say a little too yeasty?
Way too yeasty, don't want to catch it. You can catch a yeast infection in your mouth?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe in your throat.
So why you say maybe?
Maybe in your throat you can get yeast down there.
Jesus.
Nasty.
Why is everyone making a face?
I want to know. I didn't know you could catch a yeast infection in your mouth.
If you see some type of cottage cheese type of discharge, then don't do it.
Mm.
All right. Now, speaking of all the women, Meg Thee Stallion posted a picture of herself holding a Stranger Things card. And so now the speculation is that she is going to be on the show. You know, they already signed for the final season, which is going to drop next summer. That's the fifth and final season. And, you know, that is a favorite on Netflix.
Yeah, people love Stranger Things. My daughter and wife love Stranger Things.
And they got to do something better with security, talking to Megan Thee Stallion. I see her performing over the weekend, and I seen a fan jump on
TwitchCon.
Stage. Yeah, grab her arm and spun her around.
She seemed like she was, I mean, that definitely should not have happened.
She seemed like she was what? She was shocked.
Well, I'm sure she was shocked, but she did go along with it for the moment. But I know she was like, okay, that should never happen.
How did they get that close to her?
I have no idea.
The same way everybody else gets close to people on stage. I don't know what be happening at these festivals. Like, it's weird. Like, how do people, and he looked like he came from the back.
And then he grabbed, like, he ran past her dancer. Her dancer didn't jump. Like, didn't
The only thing I didn't like is the security didn't do him dirty. Like, they just kind of, like, escorted him off. Like, no, bro, treat him like he's a fan running onto a football field. Tackle his ass. You saw what Bobby Wagner did, right? Like, you got to lay him out.
I seen another kid get tackled over the weekend. He seemed like he was a kid, though, like a teenager. But
I saw that, too.
You get on that field, they don't know who you are. They just tackle him.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we're going on with the girls. And Nicki Minaj is going to have a course. Not her personally, but they're having a Nicki Minaj course studying her influence. And that's going to be taught at the University of California, Berkeley. And that's going to encourage students to think about how Nicki Minaj's impact on the hip-hop music industry connects to the broader historical social structures and hip-hop feminisms. It's called Nicki Minaj, the Black Barbie Femcy and Hip-Hop Feminisms.
Interesting. I'd like to see the courses, the curriculum.
Just me personally, I think it's whack when you have a course like that and the artist is not involved.
Well, mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj found out about it because somebody added her on Twitter about it, and she said she would love to stop by.
Yeah, you want them to be involved because you can say what you think you've seen from Nicki Minaj, but only Nicki Minaj could detail how she did it. And
that's true.
You know, you just can't say, well, this is what I think. No.
Well, there's probably enough information out there, though, for people to take firsthand things that she said and discuss those things so that it comes straight from her.
It says I'm a gardener on Wikipedia. Do we believe all the information?
Yeah, but that's not an interview with you, MB. There's a lot of interviews with Nicki Minaj with her talking firsthand.
I'm not a gardener.
About how she has done things. So I'm sure that you can study that and use that too. There's a lot of courses taught about people who aren't involved firsthand with it. And she seems like she's excited about it. She said she would love to stop by.
I think Envy is a gardener. I've heard him do plenty of interviews where he said he want to give Clue flowers. And he said he always gives Clue flowers. Where else would you get the flowers if you weren't a gardener? Duh. This guy.
All right. Now, the college professor who developed and will teach the curriculum also went on social media and said, I'm so excited to be teaching this class. And she said, we would be hella happy and honored for you to stop by. This class is interested in thinking critically about you and your productions within the context of broader historical social structures and hip hop feminism. So having your personal insights would be amazing. I'm finalizing things this fall and would love to talk more details with you via DM.
Not mad at it. We've seen classes based on Jay-Z. We've seen classes
based on this class all the time.
Yeah, but
that's somebody who's impacted the culture in that way, and there is a lot of firsthand information of, you know, she has docuseries and everything that you can use to study.
I just want to see what the curriculum is.
A lot of those classes are taught by people in that camp, like Guru teaches something that was based off of Hov, and there was another producer, I can't remember his name. Ninth Wonder teaches something. Like, these are people
in the industry.
I think
Ninth's actually a professor, though.
Yeah, but these are people that teach that's in the industry that know these artists, not just people assuming.
Why are you so against Nicki Minaj having a class, bro?
I mean, they have. I took Shakespeare in college, and Shakespeare wasn't there teaching the class.
That's why
have any input.
That's right. That's right. I don't know what you just said, G, but that feels like a good point. So I'm gonna go with that. That's why the barbs be on your ass, Envy. You know what I'm saying? You always hating on Nikki. Let Nikki be, bro.
Yeah, why don't you go garden?
Why are you so mad about her class? Go garden.
To do with Nikki. I would love
that.
There's some weeds in your garden, bro.
I would love Nikki to be a part of it.
It's weeds in your garden, bro.
She just said she will.
Okay. She said she was going to pull up. That's all I asked.
All right, now.
Bum-ass gardener.
Now, Nicki Minaj and Lil Baby have also joined Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 in a new ad, so that's exciting for
them. You got a problem with that, too? Are you happy for Lil Baby but mad about Nicki being in it? Huh? Huh?
What are you talking about?
Who else you said was in there? Lil Baby, Nicki, and who?
I said Nicki Minaj and Lil Baby.
Who else did I say? I feel like I saw that commercial this weekend.
What is wrong with you?
I think Pete Davidson was in there too.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, Pete Davidson's in it. Yeah.
All right. Now, Iggy Azalea is responding to backlash for working with Tory Lanez. He had posted, "The first female urban album I will executive produce will be Iggy Azalea's next album. I've been wanting to EP a female artist album for a while. I want to raise the bar on the beats, production, and overall experience of female albums. This is going to be fun." Well, there was some backlash. And she responded, "You're all very welcome to speak your opinion freely about me, just as long as we all have an understanding. You are having a monologue and not a discussion with me, because respectfully, my bills remain paid without your 2 cents." So
I think you should hate on Iggy right now, Envy, just to bring some balance to the rumor report.
What you mean?
Because you're hating on Nicki, so you should hate on Iggy too, so least the barbs don't think you're just targeting Nicki.
I didn't hate on Nicki. I love the fact that she's having a course. I want her to teach the course, because she would know best. But if she's going to pull up, I have no problem with it.
Okay.
And why would I hate on Iggy?
I don't know. Why did you hate on Nicki?
I didn't hate on Nicki.
Enough. Antonio Brown is being accused of selling a fake Richard Mille watch. And the plaintiff, who is a Florida resident named Ryan Kane, filed the complaint. He said that Antonio Brown claimed the watch was worth more than $400,000. And he paid $160,000 for it. He took Antonio Brown's word for it. And then he found out the watch was a fake. He took it to an appraiser for insurance purposes. And at the time, he was informed that watch was worth only about $200.
Dang,
now,
man.
Yes, in addition to that, you know, Antonio Brown is also being accused of stiffing the same person out of some money. And that is for booking Lil Wayne. So according to another lawsuit that's been filed, Ryan Kane alleges that Antonio Brown attempted to get $178,000 after submitting fraudulent expenses in hopes of being reimbursed and making a series of lewd, racist, sexist, and threatening remarks toward his company. That company is called Secure the Bag. All right. Now, he also said he struck up a brief friendship with Antonio Brown, and then he recruited him and gave him a $150,000 advance. They were also supposed to work on a music video for Cracked featuring Lil Wayne, but that project never came to fruition. Now, he claims that Antonio Brown came to him requesting $250,000 in cash to pay Wayne. He said Lil Wayne reportedly wanted the money directly from him. He said he ended up speaking to some people from Young Money who said that there's no reason to go through Antonio Brown. You can come to us directly and pay. And they believe that he was attempting to defraud them out of some money because Lil Wayne was only expecting $150,000 and Antonio Brown had told him he was requesting $250,000. So now there's a lawsuit.
Mm.
All right, well, that is your rumor reports.
You just confused the ish out of me, but all right.
He said that Wayne was charging $250,000. They wanted the money directly from him. The founder of the company reached out directly to Lil Wayne's people. They told him it was really only $150,000. So he was trying to pocket $100,000, according to this lawsuit.
Mm. All right. Well, Charlamagne, who are you giving that down to?
Man, 4 After the Hour, we need a guy who's on the run right now. His name is Cameron Hawk. He needs to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him.
All right, we'll get to that next. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Our Audible pick of the day is I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. It's a funny and heartbreaking story about her relationship with her mother, complicated grief, and stardom. Start listening when you sign up for a free 30-day trial at the home of storytelling, audible.com/breakfastclub.
Man, say the game, dunk it, utter shame, man.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the donkey of the day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yeah, it's Donkey of the Day for Monday, October the 10th, World Mental Health Day. I hate to start the week off with something so something so dark, you know, but it's a teachable moment. It's going to 31-year-old Cameron Hogg. My people, this donkey today I'm doing today is exactly why I have the conversations I do around mental health. It's exactly why I started my foundation, the Mental Wealth Alliance. It's exactly why I do things like the Mental Wealth Expo, because family, we have to heal. All right, people are walking around hurt, dealing with all kinds of unprocessed trauma, and all those people do is end up hurting other individuals. And by the time those individuals do get help, it's usually too late, and it's because of some circumstance that caused them to go to prison for the rest of their life. And then they get some type of assistance in prison, but the damage has already been done. Lives have already probably been lost, and that's exactly what happened in the case of Cameron Hogg. There's a 21-year-old young lady named Asia Womack who is no longer with us physically, because clearly Cameron Hogg does not know how to deal with his emotions. Let's go to CBS News, Dallas-Fort Worth for the report, please.
Asia loved basketball.
Yes, she did.
She loved basketball to the point to where she died doing what she loved.
Monday, 21-year-old Asia Womack. She died after being shot multiple times. On the basketball court of Terry Park, Asia Womack played a game against a friend. Police identify that friend as 31-year-old Cameron Hogg. There's an arrest warrant for him now.
She's eaten with this man. She's fed him. And he turned on her and killed her in a vicious way.
The motive for shooting and killing Asia Womack? As illogical as it may sound, the family believes the suspect didn't like losing a basketball game to Asia and didn't like hearing about it. Police were told Hogg became angry after being teased by Womack after losing the game.
You become embarrassed because a female beat you in basketball.
Come on, man. You killed someone because you lost a basketball game. You killed your friend because she beat you in basketball. This is what Birdie wanted Mortar to do to Kyle and Above the Rim after they lost. Okay, let me explain something to y'all. And it's strange that I even have to explain this. The fact that I'm saying this is wild to me, but losing a basketball game is never a reason to murder someone. I don't care how bad you get your ass busted. I don't care how much trash the person was talking. I don't care that it was a woman that beat you. There's absolutely zero reason to pull out a gun and murder someone because you lost a basketball game. And this is why, once again, I'd be encouraging people to go to therapy, because this dude didn't do this because of a basketball game. Losing the game triggered something else inside of Cameron. And whatever was triggered was clearly something that he never dealt with before. And poor Asia got hurt because that man, Cameron, never dealt with his hurt. All right, we talking about how Draymond Green handled Jordan Poole and saying Draymond shouldn't treat his teammate that way. Friends don't shoot and kill friends over losing a basketball game, people. And if you're chalking this up to him just being evil, it could be that, you know, but I doubt it. It's always something deeper. It's always something going on with someone internally that they haven't dealt with that causes them to project the pain they haven't dealt with on the others. Now, two lives are lost. Okay, the sister Asia Womack and this brother Cameron Hogg, oh, they throwing him under the jail. Okay, classic example of if you never heal from what hurt you, then you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. And in circumstances like this, you will make people bleed who really did nothing to you. Please give Cameron Hogg the biggest y'all. And you might as well turn yourself in, bro. You know, Crime Stoppers is offering up to $5,000 for information that leads to his arrest, and witnesses can call 214-373-8477 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
My goodness.
Got to get somebody like that person off the street. And absolutely, like I said earlier, by the time you end up getting somebody like him help, it's too late. The damage has already been done.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. Up next, Dr. Alfie will be joining us. We'll be talking with Dr. Alfie when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Charlamagne's Mental Wealth Expo. And today is Mental Health Day.
World Mental Health Day is today, 10-10.
That's right. We have Dr. Alfie. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Queen Dr. Alfie.
Thank you.
The real brains and leader behind the Mental Wealth Expo.
Hey.
Yeah, Dr. Alfie Breland Noble. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I am, what did you say, blessed and highly favored?
Blessed, black, and highly favored.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Blessed, black, and highly favored.
So for people that don't know, what is World Mental Health Day?
So World Mental Health Day was something founded many years ago to give us an opportunity to recognize the importance, obviously, of mental health, right? Mm-hmm. So the issue is, you know, with so much stigma around mental health, particularly in our communities, we're going to keep it real. I think that there was a real push and a desire to make sure that we acknowledge and uplift mental health and have it on the same pedestal as we do physical health. So every year on October 10th, we recognize and celebrate and uplift and try to have a dedicated day just to focus on mental health conversations.
So what should we be doing today? Like, what's the significance of the day outside of, like, what should we be doing?
Yeah, I think exactly what we're doing right now is, like, allowing space for the conversation, you know? And I think we have to start in our homes. Like I said, for us as Black people, people of color, you know, we don't, these are not things that we talk about every day outside of you all, because you do a good job of making sure that we uplift these conversations. But I think one thing we can do is just take a moment and reflect on, like, how are we taking care of our own mental health? What kinds of things are we doing to take care of our loved ones' mental health? What kind of things are we allowing into our space that take away from our mental health? And then just kind of make a plan, like one little thing you can do every day to uplift and center your own mental health and the mental health of the people that you care about. That's what we can do.
I was going to ask, you know, with everything going on with mental health and police shooting people, police being called for mental health calls. What do you think is a better way of doing that? Because sometimes, you know, people feel threatened. You know, somebody in their family's having a breakdown and they pick up a knife. The family wants to be protected and wants to make sure that their family member is safe, not necessarily shot. So what would you recommend during those times? Because people are scared to call the police.
That's right. So what I'm going to tell you I appreciate deeply about that question is that's a cultural question, right? Because not all communities have that fear. But us as Black people and many other communities of color, they absolutely have that fear, and it's a justified fear. So when we see these things happening in the public eye, we call that vicarious trauma. Even though we haven't experienced it, we're watching someone experience it, and we can have some of the same reactions. So in terms of what do? There are some innovative programs out there in the world. I know they have it in Washington State. There are a couple other places where instead of sending out police officers for a mental health crisis, they're sending out social workers. Right. And that's the idea, is to send a trained mental health professional out to the family or out to the location rather than send the police, who are not necessarily trained in how to deal with mental health crises. I think another thing that we can do is we can always be aware of what's going on with our family members, because we all know some of those triggers, you know, that impact our family members. We know the kinds of things that we can do to help keep them calm. We know the things that we can do to de-escalate sometimes. And if we don't know those things, like how do we de-escalate somebody when they're in crisis, when you see them looking at that knife headed toward to pick it up, how do you bring them back down to a place of peace so that that's not the thing that they go to? And I think if we don't take time to try to be very conscious about what our triggers are, about what our family members' triggers are, about the kinds of dynamics that are happening in our families that can escalate to those kinds of things, it puts us at a disadvantage because stuff will get out of control really quickly. So I really do think it is a combination of us advocating as a public for having somebody other than police go out for mental health crises. It is finding other ways to take care of ourselves on a day-to-day basis so that you're doing more prevention, right, than intervention. It's too late when it's already got escalated and they reaching for the knife. But if you can help that person learn how to manage emotions, avoid triggers, understand triggers, you can sort of stave off that possibility that you're going to get into those big crises. You can't prevent them all, but you can certainly try to prevent some of them.
I've heard you talk about cultural warning signs for suicide. What are some of those warning signs?
Absolutely. So I think for us as Black people, we have to be conscious of the person is not always going to look depressed and down and sad. Sometimes people are going to look angry. Right. And that consistent, persistent anger is something that we want to pay attention to. That can be a sign of somebody who's just like at their wit's end. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I think as well, what in our community, we don't necessarily talk about being depressed. We're not going to use those words. We may say things like, you know, I'm just in my feelings, or, you know, I don't know what's wrong with me. Just something ain't, like my mom used to say, nothing ain't wrong, but something ain't right. I think that we also have to pay attention to the ways in which people are discouraged from showing sadness, right? Because sadness makes you look weak. And so that comes back to this issue of anger. So if somebody is really struggling, they may not tell the people around them that they're feeling sad. What you're going to get instead is maybe they're withdrawn, maybe they're super irritable. You're going to get these other things. I think some of the signs that are real clear signals when people start giving stuff away, right? When they stop engaging in activities and behaviors that they used to. I have a colleague, he was a friend of a group of my friends. And right before he died by suicide, this is probably 12 years ago, he had some music equipment that he really loved. He started selling the equipment and giving it away. And then within maybe a week, he had died by suicide in a park, right? And so when you're seeing a person just sort of their life is just starting to shrink, they're getting more and more isolated. They don't want to be with people. They don't want to do things that they used to do. They're just looking, I'm just kind of flat, right? There's no emotion. They don't find any joy in their life. Those are things that I think give us a clear idea that that person may not want to be with us anymore, right? And that they may want to take their life.
I was going to say, but you know, a lot, problem with that is somebody like yourself or maybe even Charlamagne might know the terms. A lot of people don't know the terms.
Yes.
Like, you know, I could be sad today. You know what I mean? I might have woke up speaking to my grandmother and just sad.
Yes.
That doesn't mean I'm necessarily depressed.
It does
or
not.
I could wake up being depressed thinking I'm sad.
That's right.
I don't know if we necessarily know the signs of when people have those problems, you know?
I agree 100%. And so what we try to do with our work, both with the Mental Wealth Alliance and with the Acoma Project, a nonprofit that I founded that focuses on younger people, we try to teach people those signs and symptoms. So I have a really close girlfriend. Her name is Kathy Williams. She lost her son to suicide about 22 years ago. He was 15 years old. Tori and Leandris Graves is the young brother's name. And she and I will go around the country teaching people. So I'll give you a couple of the signs. I've talked about sadness. That's obvious, right? I've talked about irritability. That's less obvious. People's eating habits change drastically, right? So if somebody normally eats a lot and now they don't want to eat anything or vice versa, that can be a warning sign. It can be a warning sign when you see changes in sleep behavior. They sleep a lot more than they used to. They sleep a lot less than they used to. Or they're up all night and sleeping all day. That kind of fatigue. Some of the other signs are people who talk about death. Maybe it's not their death, but they kind of fixated on death as a thing. Those are all things to give you a clue if those things last and they hang around for more than 2 weeks, right? So if you're kind of seeing it off and on for a two-week period, that's when you know that person might need some help. I think the challenge is a lot of us don't take enough time to stop. I always call it knowing your baseline. We don't know from day to day sort of what average is for us, what is neutral for us, because we're always sort of moving.
That's right.
So if you don't know what neutral is, how do you know when it's like stuff is going really, really great and you're like really, really high, or when stuff is really, really bad and you're really, really low? We've got to take time to sort of stop and figure out what that baseline is. So hopefully that helps in terms of just some of the things to look for. And you're looking for a cluster. It's not one day and one the next. All of this stuff is kind of clustering together over a period of 2 weeks.
How do you encourage somebody to get help? Because sometimes you are around people and you're like, okay, this person clearly needs to seek some help, but they don't want to. Or maybe you're in a relationship with somebody and they don't want to do therapy with you to try to fix things. How can you say, and if they're very resistant to that, what are some things you can do?
Hold on, Dr. Alfie. Let's answer that when we come back.
Okay.
Dr. Alfie's here. This is World Mental Health Day 1010. And we're going to talk more with Dr. Alfie when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Howdy, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're joined by Dr. Alfie. Today is World Mental Health Day, and we recognize everything mental health. And we have Dr. Alfie here. Now, Yee, you just had a question?
Right. I was asking how you encourage somebody to get help when you know that they need it. You see those signs. Or maybe you're in a relationship and you need to go to help together as a couple.
So one thing I always try to encourage people to think about is, you know, I happen to be a person of faith and I believe there's one entity up there and it ain't me.
That's right.
And so what I try to remember is we can want somebody to do it, but if they don't want it for themselves, we can't make them do it. You know what I mean? And I think some of it, sometimes it's hard to accept that. It's even hard for me to accept that as a mental health provider, that people may come in, they kind of want help, but they don't really want to help. So they don't really want to do what I'm asking them to do to change things for the better. All I can do is take them where they are in the moment. And I think, so that's not the best answer. That's not an answer that makes us happy. But I think there are going to be times when people are just not going to want to do it. They're going to be resistant. Now, for those people who might be on the fence, I think things that we can do is encourage them by saying things like, I will go with you, right? Even if I feel like I don't necessarily need the help in the moment, I will ride with you to the clinic. I will help you find somebody. I will call that person on your behalf. Those are the kinds of things that we can do to demonstrate to people that we believe in the value of it, and we believe in the value of it and the potential of it to help them. I think one other thing we can do is we can demonstrate and be open, like Charlamagne does all the time. Talk about how it benefited us, right? So I went to this person, it helped me a lot. These are the ways in which it helped me. And then the final thing I think we can do is, until a person's ready to go to care, we might try to find those kind of tools and resources that we can share with them that they can use to take care of themselves. I believe in meditation, so there are all these meditation apps. Some people like affirmations, setting intentions, those kind of deep breathing exercise. So just encouraging them with other things that they can do until such time as they're ready to go get that care.
Yeah, sometimes people feel like also you don't want to desert someone,
right.
But it could be destroying you too, to
That's
be
right.
with someone or around somebody who you can see
yeah.
all these different signs, but you feel helpless as far as them not wanting to seek help. So what do you do about that for yourself? Like, I don't want to desert this person,
That's right.
but I don't feel like there's anything I can really do.
That's right. So I think you acknowledge that, and then you take time to take care of yourself first. And taking care of yourself first might mean you take that person in small doses, right? So it's like you want to be there, you want to offer support, but I think we can only do it in a way that allows us to take care of ourselves first. I think sometimes we get lost in, a lot of us, we want to help that person, we want to save that person, and we destroy ourselves in the process. And I always say, you can't be any good for anybody else if you're not good for yourself.
That's right.
So it's okay to take a step back and say, you know what? I've tried to help. I've tried to give them some ideas. I tried all this stuff you said, Dr. Alfie, and they ain't feeling it. So let me just take a step back, and I'll go in at different points when I feel like I can manage it. And that way you don't drain yourself. You also don't have to feel like you're deserting that person, but you're also giving yourself the opportunity to say, you know, I'm doing everything I can. They don't want the help. I can't fix this for them. So those are some of the things I would say.
You know, this time last year, we did our first ever mental wealth expo.
Yeah.
And we had the second one this past weekend. Tell them what you feel the Mental Wealth Expo is.
Oh my goodness. The Mental Wealth Expo is a celebration to me, a celebration of Black excellence, Black health, Black togetherness, like literally like just Black love, all the things that we as Black people need to help build and support our mental health. And I'm so grateful to iHeart and you for having the vision and the Mental Wealth Alliance for putting this together. And for me, what it was just an opportunity to see all kinds of people come together, all with one purpose, to uplift and support and name that our mental health as Black people is important, to acknowledge that there are things that are unique about who we mm-hmm. are, that we got to pay attention to in terms of our mental health, and to give people an opportunity to see all the different ways we can take care of mental health. So you had people talking about journaling, you had people talking about writing, you had people talking about the intersection of maternal health
That's right.
and mental health. And then you had all these amazing celebrities on stage. I'm going to tell you who really touched me was G Herbo.
Yeah,
at the event, and it was just listening to him be such a young brother and be so wise about so many things. And
being
I think,
open at that age.
Yes.
I didn't start going to therapy till 36. He's having these conversations at 20-something.
Yes, yeah. Yes, 27 years old. So it was just that opportunity for all of us to come together in like love and peace, and honestly, it sounds kind of hokey, but harmony around this topic of mental health. So that's what it is for me. It's like a vibe. It's like a good space to come and let your hair down and know that you're among people who care about you, you know, that people who want to see you succeed mm-hmm. and just have these great conversations about mental health.
What do people do after the Mental Wealth Expo? Like for those who came and they want to know the next steps, you know, in their journey of healing, what do they do?
I think the first thing is to like really, this is going to sound hokey, but this is me. This is the mental health professional in me. Really reflect on the things that stood out to you that were meaningful for you. Because I think if you can reflect on those things, that gives you insight into what can I do? What is the next step for mm-hmm. me? So for some people, like last year we had folks, yoga practitioners. For some folks, they might reflect on, well, that yoga really spoke to me. I never tried that before. Let me go take a yoga class, right? Mm-hmm. For somebody else, that journaling workshop that they did, or writing, getting their feelings out on paper and going to buy a journal with some beautiful Black art on it, that might be the thing to inspire them. So I really think you have to take stock of what was the thing that stood out to you. For many people, the first family of
faith.
There you go. The first family of faith, having those folks there, the Roberts, Sarah Jakes, and Teray,
mm-hmm.
that might have been the thing. It's like the connection between spirituality and mental health. So if you can determine what was the one thing or what were the two top things that stood out to you in that event, that's your entry point. That's where you need to go, because that's what resonates with your spirit. And that's what's going to help you begin your journey to mental health.
Yeah, even having somebody like Sarah Jakes there and Pastor Torre, when they have the conversation about, you know, even though they believe in God, and Sarah goes yes. to a therapist, you know, Torre goes to a therapist. Right. Hearing somebody say, look, yes, I believe in God, but I go to therapy. How important is that, you think?
It normalizes it, mm-hmm. right? What it says to people is it doesn't have to be an either or. And you need somebody like the first family of faith, like you said, who are in the public eye, who are very open and honest about their challenges. I remember listening to them and just thinking, well, they just like really putting it out there, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've listened to Pastor Teray talk about parenting and how he parents, you know, black men, and and his own children, his and Sarah's children. And I think having somebody say that, somebody you respect, somebody you honor, somebody you value, if they say that even in that big public eye, they have things that they struggle with and therapy is helpful for them, then that makes it that much easier for each the rest of us to say, oh, well, maybe that's something I can try too. If it mm-hmm. worked for them, maybe it can work for me.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today on World Mental Health Day.
I appreciate Dr. Alvey so much because, you know, you can have the vision. Like, I can have the vision for the Mental Wealth Alliance, but you need somebody to help you execute it. That's Dr. Alfie Lowell. You can have the vision for the Mental Wealth Expo, but you got to have somebody who can execute it for you. That's Dr. Alfie. So thank you so much.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Thank all of you.
I wanted to ask you before we get into rumors, because this is going to be one of the topics. Some of Kanye West's friends are saying they feel he's in the midst of a psychiatric episode, and we're going to talk about that.
Yes.
But as an expert,
yes.
You know, what would you say about that, and what would you say can be helpful?
I think it's a challenge because Kanye says these things that are so outlandish. When I look at it, I'm like, clearly something is not right. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I don't want to say that all of his problems have to do with whatever kind of mental health struggles he's having. But I do think we have to kind of take a step back for me and give him a little bit of grace because he has a diagnosis. So clearly there is something going on. So when I see these like really wild, outlandish things like the White Lives Matter t-shirts and all that, I think to myself, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily him just pulling a stunt. I wonder how much of that has to do with his mental health. And when you're in the public eye like that, we had a conversation about that at the expo. Being in the public eye, it's almost like there's no filter. So for many of us, we'll make those mistakes, right? Somebody else with bipolar disorder will make a mistake. The world doesn't see it because they're not famous. So I think there's this perfect, awful storm of he's going through some of these episodes and he's in the public eye. And so there's nowhere to hide it. You know what I'm saying? It's all out there. So my wish for him is that somebody would be able to wrap their arms around him and just kind of pull him back a little bit and say, look, man, let's get this stuff under control first, and then you can go out there and be a genius. But until he has that, I think we're going to continue to see what we've been seeing. So in my opinion, as an expert and somebody who's been in this space a long time, I think Kanye needs a lot more support.
Well, Dr. Alfie, we appreciate you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate being here. I appreciate all of you.
And we got rumors on the way. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Rumor, rumor. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Sources close to Kanye told Page Six they believe that he is in the middle of a psychiatric episode and that this is the worst one yet. They said his odd behavior started when he fired his publicist for his Paris fashion show last week, and then he scrapped his plans for the show and put together a new show featuring the White Lives Matter theme. He also booked that interview with Tucker Carlson against the advice of his team, according to insiders. He's been firing consultants and advisors who have disagreed with him or resisted his ideas, and he also has these ideas that have been regarded widely as anti-Semitic or racist. He's trying to hire a new team that's geared toward politics and said he wants to focus on putting together a platform for a second presidential run in 2024. He also was wearing a baseball cap with 2024 printed on the brim. According to the sources, he's been alienating confidants by using the same rhetoric in private that led him to publicly endorse the White Lives Matter slogan and also the tweets that he put out. His friends are at a loss to find someone who can get through to his destructive behavior.
Yeah, how do you as a black man wake up and choose white supremacy? Like, Kanye West woke up and just chose to be a Nazi one day. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out and tells you how much he loves Hitler. Like, in the span of a week, you use your energy to spew anti-black slogans and anti-Semitic rhetoric. Like, you might as well call him KK Kanye at this point.
All right. Now, Kanye also had some things to say about Lizzo. This went viral. Lizzo did respond. Here is what Kanye had to say about Lizzo.
Now, let's talk about Gabby and my good friend Lizzo. Lizzo works with my trainer, a friend of mine, Harley Pasternak. When Lizzo loses 10 pounds and announces it, the bots, they attack her for losing weight because the media wants to put out a perception that being overweight is the new goal when it's actually unhealthy. Yes. Let's get aside the fact of whether it's fashion and Vogue, which it's not, or if someone thinks it's attractive, to each his own. It's actually clinically unhealthy. And for people to promote that, it's demonic.
All right. Well, a lot of people clap back at Kanye for making these body shaming remarks. You also can't look at somebody and say that they're unhealthy And, you know, there's been a lot of discussions about that. And for some reason, Lizzo's the person everyone talks about. So Lizzo was on stage and she was in Toronto on Friday. And here's what she said.
I feel like everybody in America got my mother's name in their mother's mouth.
Let me ask you a question. These brothers don't know any like fat men they could be talking about?
Yeah,
like, why is it always Lizzo?
That was a big conversation on social media, too. Why is it that it's only Lizzo is the person that people seem to come after when there's a lot of men
that are overweight? Right?
The reality is Kanye could have used himself as an example. Has he looked in the mirror lately? Huh? Well, Kanye, you sound like a wide hip-having hater. All right.
Why did
he? That's what he sounds like. That's why he will always wear them big baggy clothes and always wear black, because he's trying to show, he don't want to show his shape. Yeah. Take your shirt off, Kanye. Let me see. Post that. I bet you won't post that on the gram. And you're going to get fat shamed and ain't nobody going to feel sorry for
take
you.
Take your shirt off, put them, you know, some stupid sunglasses on. Yeah.
Word is born. Let me see how you breastfeed.
Now, Kanye's Instagram account has been restricted. And a company spokesperson told NBC their team has since removed these posts that were in question and they did not provide details on the content. But Ye wrote to Diddy, "This ain't a game. I'm going to use you as an example to show the Jewish people that told you to call me that no one can threaten or influence me. I told you this was war. Now go on, get you some business." Then he captioned that post, "Jesus is Jew." And then he said, "Look at this, Mark. How are you going to kick me off Instagram? You used to be my N-word."
And then he got locked out of Twitter.
I just said that. He was kicked out of Twitter.
No, that wasn't the tweet that got him locked out of Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The
tweet that got locked out of Twitter.
Hey, I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jews also. You guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone who ever opposes your agenda.
Once again, how do you as a black man wake up and choose white supremacy? Like, you just decided I'm going to be a Nazi this week.
Now, Mace is telling people to chill on Ye.
Yeah, y'all chill out on that Ye stuff, man. Y'all ain't the only one, no police, man. Okay? Chill out. Chill out. Let's stay in love.
He also said that Kanye is his son.
Yo, during this time of healing, I want y'all to pray for me and my family. Just like I would never bring your kids into it because they're your kids. They're off limits. Kanye is my son, and he's off limits. And I'm asking y'all just to pray for us.
You know, your son is a Nazi. And I'm going to tell you something else. I think people really don't understand that phrase, white lives matter, which is so weird to me. Like, I'm realizing that people don't understand why folks are getting upset when they hear that phrase. It's because it's a white supremacist phrase that originated as a racist response to the Black Lives Matter movement.
All right. He also is teasing a conversation that he had with Kanye. I guess it's coming out.
Yo, we hear is Ye and Mace. I'm asking Mace, every idea that God is sending through him right now, to make sure that he expresses the ideas to the maximum of what God wants them to be. Not presenting anything like we presented to a label or any media company or any shoe company, anything. It's like just whatever God wants for us to do right now, because it's our time.
All right.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. A lot going on. I know everybody's like, ignore Kanye.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. The People's Choice Mix is up next. Let's go.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Our Audible pick of the day is Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. This adventure is about one astronaut's race to save the world. Start listening by signing up for a free 30-day trial at the home of storytelling, audible.com/breakfastclub.
God, we are the Breakfast Club. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was a federal holiday today.
Yes.
And yeah, so not a lot of traffic. Banks are closed, things like that.
Well, somebody just hit me and said they on their way to the bank for work. I thought banks were closed. I don't
know. They are, because none of my things are going through. So I guess they are. And I want to shout out to Stocks and Stilettos, the conference I was at in Vegas. And while I was there, I actually went to the club inside the hotel, Jewel Nightclub, and Tyga was making an appearance. Tyga got a lot of hits.
Yeah, he does.
He was running through those songs. I was like, I didn't even realize until he did all of them in a row. And there was some that he even missed. People were holding up their phones in the audience, requesting songs. But even like him being on songs like Chosen and Taste and Freaky Deaky with Doja Cat. And then, of course, like Rack City, Ayo, all of those songs. Shout out to Tyga for all those hits.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do. I want to salute two men, the Living Legends Foundation. I was in L.A. this past Friday, man, and they honored me with the Jerry C. Bolden Radio Executive Award. You know, so salute to the Living Legends Foundation. Thank you for the honor. Positive note on this Monday, man. I want y'all to start the week off with this mentality. No matter what society says, it's okay to be like, nah, that ain't for me.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.